More.
Chicken lay. Welcome to Mouthful, smart talk about food, wine, and farming. And this is not Michelle Anna Jordan with a cold. This is Clark Wolf sitting in for Michelle. She's away at a funeral, but she will be back next week. And I was delighted to be with her last week when we talked about the Grand Harvest season here in Sonoma County. Sonoma County Grand Harvest is really this special, magical time of the year. So I'm thrilled to be here today to talk to three wonderful people who know a great deal about what grows and what we can enjoy here. I want to add that this is the celebration of KRCB's 25th anniversary. And we'll be asking you to become a member if you aren't already. I warn you, but it's a delicious and wonderful and easy thing to do. I'm going to jump in as well. But I want to introduce our three guests today, Michelle's three guests that I get to talk to. Doug Gosling is located and part of the team that is at the magical Occidental Arts and Ecology Center in or near the magical, strange and wondrous town of Occidental, California. Welcome, Doug, to Mouthful.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us is Renee Hayes and Sue Lovelace of The Master Gardeners. Welcome to you both. We can't wait to hear what Master Gardeners do.
Thanks,
on
Clark.
A full moon in the middle of the night.
No,
these are all really important topics. Doug, we're going to start with you. You know, this really is an extraordinary place. It wasn't just Luther Burbank who said this was the Eden of all the earth, right? Anybody who has been to the Occidental Arts and Ecology Center knows how much biodiversity is here and how much wonderful effort and study and sharing happens. Can you tell us what's the short answer when somebody asks what is the Occidental Arts and Ecology Center other than a really good idea?
Well, there is no short answer, but I think our work has something to do with the intersection of social justice and environmental restoration. And we have programs across the spectrum, from an arts program to the Mother Garden Biodiversity Program to social justice program to Watershed Institute that address those issues.
It's an extraordinary combination that's so logical once you get the right perspective, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it has grown organically, in some cases because of the passion of the people who are there.
Right.
But it does fit together as a whole idea.
Well, in a center in a community like that, that's based on what's growing in the earth and what's done, I don't know, holding hands between the trees, really. There's so much there. It really does have to be based on what's around us and how we relate to each other, mm-hmm. both in the present and for the future, as individuals as well as community.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of my favorite things was you added art and it didn't seem an intellectual add-on. It seemed like a logical, again, we use the in-ironic or non-ironic use of the term organic. It was a natural flow. Tell us about that. What is it, 80 acres, right?
It's 80 acres, a pretty diverse 80 acres, and it's been in nonprofit hands since 1974.
Wow.
OAC is the third nonprofit, but now we're the oldest, or we've been there the longest, and we just celebrated our 25th anniversary, like KRCB, last week. So it's amazing. Yeah, that we've been there that long.
All right, you have something that you started before it was very common across the country, and that is a plant sale.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's one thing to buy a plant from a nursery, which is great, or from your local school where they're doing it as a fundraiser or something. But when you're buying plants from people who really are all about what grows and how to take care of it and how to thoughtfully share it and how to make sure it kind of coexists with the other plants and critters in the world, mm-hmm. it's a big deal. Tell us about your plant sale and when it is and how do people, you know, get there.
Well, the plant sales started 24 years ago, and they really grew out of the fact that the garden already, when OAEC got there, was a very diverse garden. And I actually arrived there in 1982 when it was the Farallones Institute.
Oh, right.
And immediately got interested in the diversity of food crops and also in seed saving, and became sort of a fanatic about it. And then I also worked there when it was the Center for Seven Generations. I mean, I'm the elder because I've been there longer than anybody else. But it really did, we really did focus on the diversity of food crops that exist in the world, that are left in the world,
right,
and also facing the unfortunate fact that we've lost a lot of our food crops and a lot of the varieties that were once common. We hear a lot about the loss of native species, but we don't necessarily hear about the loss of indigenous food crops and heirloom varieties,
which are crucial to our existence, both at dinner and in the future.
Absolutely. In fact, the genetics that old food crops represent and heirloom varieties represent are sort of critical for our survival, I think. And that's what I'm and we are really interested in doing is gathering together as many valuable crops as we can find, especially food crops, culinary and medicinal herbs, and learning how to propagate them, trial them ourselves, and then share them via the plant sales. We did plant sales for something like 23 years, and when we started out, we were probably some of the first people who were doing it in the county.
Yeah.
And we were maybe the only ones who were certified organic. You know, the garden has been certified organic since, actually, it's one of the oldest certified organic farms or gardens in the state.
Right.
So we were one of the first, and we were one of the first that offered heirloom varieties exclusively. I mean, we sold almost no hybrids.
What I like about all of the people at this table is that while you focus very carefully on what you're doing and how you do it, you're very generous with the way you share it. How do people come to the Occidental Arts and Ecology Center, and besides buying, there's a nursery and there are programs, how do people find you, and what can they do to bring you into their own lives?
Well, you can visit the nursery. We have a garden volunteer day that has been going on probably for, I mean, it started when it was Farallones, and it's happened every Wednesday for probably 30 years, and it's kind of out in the mine belt, it seems, because people show up every single week from all over the world. So that's one way. You can work in the garden and you get a nice lunch that's from the garden. Mm-hmm. We have several courses. We offer permaculture classes that are two-week intensives.
Explain to people, not everybody understands what permaculture means.
It's a synthesis of design approaches and design practices. It's kind of a gathering together of ways of stewarding the earth and each other taken from the past that have worked before and put together into a construct that offers people alternative and more benign ways of living either both with each other, but, you know, on the earth, you know.
Yeah, this is a precursor to every TED Talk, every North by Northwest, every Burning Man, the whole notion that things should go together in a thoughtful way,
yeah,
and that design is part of that.
Yeah,
and
that's really
when we say design, we don't just mean drawing with crayons. We really mean thinking about how things go together. So if we study the way nature does it, it's such an opportunity for us to see how we might.
Exactly. Yeah, it and organic gardening and farming really look to nature as the example. You know, take the cue from nature. I mean, everything that is practiced in organic gardening, you can trace, you can look at the forest and say, oh, that's how it's done. As opposed to monoculture, you know,
right,
vast
right
fields that are cultivated by machines of one variety. That is a new idea, and it's failing. It's not the way it's done.
It's failing painfully. I live in a 100-year-old logger's cabin in the Redwoods.
Mm.
And when I had first moved there, it's going to be 20 years this fall. When I first moved there, I have a friend who's may she rest in peace and in the sky happily. And she's sparkling, Tammy Fraser. She loves flowers, and she loves plants, and she loves the seasons. And she, you know, we had Dungeness crab from a fisherman when it was just right. She explained to me, never the first, wait until the second or the third catch so that you really get the sweetest, and they've had a chance to bob. And it's true for peaches and for watermelons and for absolutely everything else. But so I said to her one day, what should I plant around my cabin in the woods? She said, you live in the woods. Let the woods plant. And my place is surrounded by wild sorrel. That gets a little purple flower. I mean, it's so much more beautiful and healthier, sure, right? When yeah. You let it do what it's supposed to do, maybe mm-hmm. with a little thoughtful help here and there. Mm-hmm. A lot of this is going on now. Our other guests today really do know about getting their fingernails filled with dirt. They are master gardeners, and Sue Lovelace and Renee Hayes from the Master Gardeners. Will you explain it to us, Sue? What are master gardeners? Although I know one when I see one.
Yes.
They always have a tomato in their left hand.
Primarily, the Master Gardener program was set up to educate the home gardener.
Yeah.
Because the agricultural departments were out there with the bigger farms and agricultural units, where the home gardener is where our focus is, you know, in educating them on how to grow not only food. We're part of the food garden specialists, but, you know, the Master Gardener program covers a broad spectrum of programs and projects that involve not only food growing, but drought-tolerant gardening. We work in conjunction with the water department with Garden Sense, helping people with their irrigation needs. We, are out in the libraries, the community gardens, schools, and with the youth. We cover a broad area of,
nature and life.
Yes,
nature
we
and
do.
Life. And I like the fact that it's important for us to remember that everything that grows is for somebody to eat, but not always us. Right.
Sometimes
it needs to be
absolutely right.
I mean, sometimes it needs to be eaten by a critter that we don't even want to get nearer, but we need that critter to be part of our world so that we can have what we need. I remember.
That's well said. Yes.
I remember going for a vacation at the end of Long Island many years ago. And I said, I don't care what house we have. I just want lots and lots of flowers because I'm not really good with bees. Mm-hmm. And if I am surrounded by flowers, there's no problem.
Yeah.
Why would a bee bother with me when there's all this gorgeous color and nectar and fragrance, all this stuff to play with, right?
Right.
And so I like to call that leaning into nature. And each of us has to do it in our own way, in our own ability. Now, I understand, Renee, that there are openings every 2 years. It's a very careful process
to welcome
people into the Master Gardener Program. How can people find out about that, and what can they do?
Yes, that's right. This is a year that we're asking for applications for people who want to become part of Sonoma County Master Gardeners. They can find the information right on the front of our webpage. The application's there to download.
And what's the webpage?
The website is, if you just Google UC Master Gardener, you'll find it.
Right.
It's sonomamg.ucanr.org.
Dot edu.
All right, so that's way too much. So
it is a long URL.
You Google Master Gardeners? Or
Sonoma County Master Gardeners.
I can almost do that. and how do we find Occidental Arts and Ecology? What's the Googleable or memorable way of getting the information about you folks?
OAC.org. Easy.
You've been doing this a while,
easy,
haven't you?
Yes.
You've homed it to an heirloom nub.
Right. Right. Yes.
What is going on right now? I have to ask you. I mean, this is a time when if people want to discover what I'm calling the Sonoma County Grand Harvest, I suggest they go immediately to the closest farmer's market and see just how many peppers there can possibly be. We've kind of learned over the last 25 years how many colors of tomatoes there can be, but peppers and melons.
Carrots.
And oh my gosh, carrots. Mm. Carrots, right? Mm-hmm. And I also think that this is a time when the garlic is getting dried properly for the winter, mm-hmm. and is being made into braids and is solidifying in a nice way. Mm-hmm. There are all these other root vegetables that are waving at us, and Lord knows that if zucchini is the leader of the squash, then the army is yet to come. What else is in your mother garden right now?
Oh, boy. All kinds of stuff. Tomatoes, of course, and peppers and tomatillos and summer squash, and the winter squash is ripening, and
and folks, pumpkin is not a word that goes with latte. All right, there are, and by the way, there's no pumpkin in. Never mind. But also, pumpkin isn't necessarily just orange. I mean, that's the thing that made me the happiest when I came to a gathering not long ago, and everybody said, "Bring a pumpkin." You know, like bring a pumpkin. Mm. The range from blue to blue green to white to gray to orange to pink to yellow to, I mean, and they're all pumpkins, mm-hmm. and they mm-hmm. all are filled with seeds that make you happy, mm-hmm. Especially if you toast them, right?
Yeah.
I mean, as kids, it was one of the few things we were allowed to spit at each other.
Right. Yes.
And also, this is a wonderful time of year for watermelons. Mm. Not at the middle of the summer in the parking lot of the grocery store, right? But now at a farmer's market.
Yeah, and preferably and the melons, too.
I had a melon, the name of which I don't even know, a little round one that looked French, had a slight French accent. Mm. And it was green inside. Green flesh melons somehow just make me goofy. It's like, why is this green? You know, I think of green, I think of lettuce, and I think of green beans, and then you taste a melon, and how did green get to taste like that? Mm-hmm. Do you sell melons and starts for all those kinds of things at the nursery?
You know, as I was saying, we did plant sales for a long time, and at a certain point, we realized that there were so many great plant sales. There were other nonprofits, you know, like Harvest for the Hungry does an amazing plant sale, and it's in Santa Rosa, and Oxdale is pretty far out there, and so we decided that we were going to stop doing plant sales and instead be open every weekend. And our focus now is on perennials, on perennial food crops, culinary and medicinal herbs, habitat plants, pollinator plants, and salvias.
What is a salvia?
Salvia is a sage.
Oh.
Mm. Yeah, salvia is the Latin name for a sage.
Got it.
And there are hundreds, if not thousands.
There are hundreds.
Probably thousands.
When I first started to be involved with food, I mean, I'm not sure where I should specifically state it, you know, because my mother was a concert pianist. Talk about arts, right? Mm-hmm. She was a wonderful gardener. She grew the most exquisite roses you ever saw. Mm. She was the worst cook ever because she was an immigrant trying to be an American housewife. Mm-hmm. So she grew roses because she couldn't help it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And she played the piano, and she was just very, very talented. But if it wasn't in plastic, she didn't know how to cook vegetables.
Right.
I was 20 years old before I found out that zucchini wasn't dark brown. You know, I mean, it was just scary. I was like, but there is a magic to that Meyer lemon bush out back behind the side door and the apricots, you know, on the tree in the backyard, and the tangerines, and how apricots and tangerines seem like they're from two different universes and they could be side by side, right? We don't understand how well these things can go together.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. For the master gardeners, do you come to their home and take a look at their dirt? I mean, how does the commitment get made? I mean, what's the SAT for gardeners?
Well, there's a number of ways. Okay, the community gardens, we have a bear garden in Santa Rosa.
Yeah.
Okay. A multicultural garden that we have a demo garden there, and we learn from them as much as they learn from us. There's Windsor Community Garden, which is a very structured, welcoming garden that has all a whole host of organizations that come and teach in that garden, as well as individual plots. And we have Harvest for the Hungry. Those are our three project gardens that we
support regularly, right.
We have the media, we have our Facebook page, which Sundays with Sue I do every Sunday.
Nice.
But other master gardeners all through the week, you know, produce amazing educational information on what to grow now. You talk about the harvest, but a lot of us in food gardening in the fall, as a home food garden, we're trying to think, how can we start our fall winter garden in the midst of all these tomatoes and peppers and wonderful things.
The good
things.
News is that we're well nourished and prepared to start and to plan, right? I suggest that what we do is plan the fall and winter garden over a good meal from today's garden. Doesn't that make a great deal of sense?
I think absolutely.
When we come back, and we're going to take a little bit of a break to raise some money for this very wonderful station, but when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about going to the Occidental Arts and Ecology Center to stay, because you have some cabins and you can do small conferences and you can have, you know, other meetings in that respect. And also, besides those three programs, I want to find out how people can participate on a regular basis with the Master Gardeners, perhaps towards becoming an accepted member with, I don't know, the epaulettes and the little tiara or whatever it is, the crown of thorns.
The beret.
The beret. Okay.
I'm kidding.
Of course, I'm sure it's a bent bow. All right, well, listen, now's the time when we should really talk about how to stay talking about these things, how to make it possible for us to have these kinds of conversations on a regular basis. You know that Mouthful is part of a podcast. It gets up on the station. And I wrote down here norcalpublicmedia.org. Yeah, did that right? Or, and this is an analog, folks, sit down. This is called a phone number. A couple of you might have a landline. I actually have a landline in the woods. You're going to get asked to join this wonderful station. And when you do, it's 707-584-2020, as Barbara Walters might say.
Right. And my friend, this is Doug Jane here. Thanks for having me. My friend Will Durst says it's an easy number to remember, 584-2020, because 2020 is the year we're going to dump Trump. His words, not mine. But that's... I'll go with that one. We are on day two of our fall fundraiser here at KRCB, where we're looking to make, in our 8 days, $15,000. And we have a goal of for Michelle's show of doing $200 today. It says 100 up there, but I want to get 200 in. So we're asking folks that are fans of Michelle's to call us at 584-2020 and make a donation to KRCB. My wife Barrett is in the other room waiting for the phones to ring, and she'll be very happy if that happens. And if we get more than one call, I can grab one as well. We had a couple things I want to tell you about, that if you do go onto the website, which is norcalpublicmedia.org, you can also put in KRCB in your search thing. It'll take you right to the same page. At the top of our webpage, there's a little red heart that says donate. Click that button. It will take you to a page that shows all of the nice thank you gifts that we can you can get by giving money to KRCB. Wearable items such as the KRCB North Bay Public Media hat that Anthony is wearing right now. It looks very smart in it.
And it's comfy.
We have the NorCal Public Media hoodie, the NorCal Public Media t-shirt, and NPR socks. So, I mean, we can get you tricked out and looking good for your walk around Spring Lake. We've got some great CDs that are available. People still love listening to CDs, and we've got new releases from Rodney Crowell, Elin Jewell, Delbert McClinton, a soundtrack to the new movie Echo in the Canyon, and the new Bruce Springsteen album. All these can be yours for a $40 donation to KRCB by calling 584-2020 right now. Oliver's Market has given us 100 $10 gift cards that the first 100 people that call up and give us $40 or more gets a $10 Oliver's Market gift card as part of the deal, too. Pretty cool. And one thing we're very excited about is we have a new CD that we've produced here at KRCB. It's called The Songs of Hank Williams. It's a two-CD set, 29 Hank Williams songs performed by local artists, most of them from Sonoma County, bands like Solid Air, David Lunning, Highway Poets, Royal Jelly Jive, Doug Jane, just to name but a few. And we are offering the CD for $40. And for another $20, a $60 donation, we also have tickets that will go along and get you into the KRCB Hank Williams tribute that's happening at the Mystic Theater in Petaluma. It's a Saturday night, and most of the bands that'll be that are on the CD will be performing at this show. So $60 gets you the two CD set, Hank Williams, the songs of Hank Williams, two tickets to the show, the Oliver's Market gift card, and our love and appreciation for allowing us to continue. I've been a fan of Michelle's since before KRCB was even here. I've known her since she worked at the Brass Ass in Cotati. And I started here 23 years ago. When I started here then, she had two shows. She had a Mouthful, and she also had a music show called Red Shoes Rodeo. And she is a very passionate person, as you all know. She's very sorry that she can't be here tonight. But I think what would be awesome is if the people listening would, in her honor of Michelle, would be to call up right now, 584-2020. Whatever you can give. If you got $20, think of it as we're passing around the hat for Michelle. Call up and give us $20. But if you can do the 60, we can get you into the Mystic Theater on September 21st to see Hank Williams' tribute show and get you the CD. And there's also a whole bunch of CDs that are on the webpage you can look at. And when you call 584-2020, Barrett will give you a rundown of some of the nice thank you gifts that you can get. But the important thing that everyone listening, we do fundraising three times a year. This is one of the weeks that we do it. And it's something that we have to do to keep our NPR affiliation. We have to be able to prove to the folks at NPR that we are worthy, that we have listeners that support us by not just financially but and listening to us. And there's a call right now. Woohoo! Let's keep them going.
I like the little bright lights that go on and off.
That's nice. Yeah, huh?
That worked.
Well, we'll hope it's not one of those sales calls or something. You've been pre-qualified. you ever get those while you're at work? Anyway, thanks, everyone. It's great hearing everyone talk. Thank you all for coming in and participating on Michelle's show. And thank you, everyone, for listening. But we really need calls. 584-2020. Make a donation to KRCB. Help us get this $15,000 we need by next Saturday. And thank you. Thanks, Clark.
Thank you, Doug. To add to that, it's kind of like this way. I'm usually on they call it terrestrial radio, commercial radio, KSRO.
Right.
And I have to say that this station at NPR is a little bit like the heirloom seeds of radio. Mm-hmm. Of media. We need to have these things that we all as a community protect. Instead of having all these advertisements all the time, all you're doing is talking to people about what else we can give them, right? You're giving them these other treats and these other experiences on top of giving them this wonderful programming from all over the country and from down the road.
Right.
NPR is a very, very special part of our lives, and we have to support it.
And what's cool about it, too, is that we do this kind of stuff all the time here at KRCB, where your show on KSRO is kind of like an island in the storm out there. I mean, so much of the show on KSRO is unlistenable, but your show is great.
Thank you. The drive
is great.
Thank you.
But this KRCB, we have a whole lot of music and just enough news is what we think here.
And just enough news. And it's a little bit like what we were talking about with the other Doug, today's other Doug. We have a room full of Dougs, folks. And that is that, NPR, this station, Michelle's shows, the other shows, we really kind of lean into the better part of the community, right? Mm-hmm. Into the best of our lives. I mean, and that's what all of this is about. So if you want to continue supporting the kinds of things that Michelle does, the kinds of things that I do, that all these wonderful people do, please support this show and this station right now.
Nothing would make her happier if she came back and saw that we did $500 or so tonight. So let's get the phones ringing here. 707-584-2020. Barrett's taking a call right now, and I'm ready to answer the phone, so let's do it. And we'll just imagine that the rest of you are online right now at norcalpublicmedia.org and donating as we speak.
All right. And now I think we'll get back to our guests for just a little bit. And remember, while we're talking about this, it's okay to listen to these lovely people and call in and donate money to the station and to Mouthful. You can multitask. Right? It's the way the garden works. Things happen all at the same time. Renee, where do you live?
I live in Petaluma.
All right. Now, so Petaluma, oh my goodness, right? I mean, Petaluma looms large in our awareness, but we think of it, when we think of Petaluma, we often think of chickens and of eggs and of dairy, right? But it turns out those things don't work so well unless there are all kinds of wonderful things growing all around it. Right? Some of the most formal gardens actually in the county historically have been in and around Petaluma, right? On some beautiful properties.
It's gorgeous in Petaluma, but all Sonoma counties. That's what we are so lucky, Clark, in this area of Sonoma County, because we have a long growing season with our Mediterranean weather, and we can grow, just about anything. The heirloom seed expo is coming up next week, and the master gardeners will be there answering any questions, and there's people all over the country coming to that expo,
it's the International Heirloom Expo. It's the 9th annual, and what's interesting about it is it's the Baker Seed Company, and they could have done it a lot of different places, except for that there's this huge magnet called the history of all of Sonoma County, right? Mm-hmm. And this is such a magnet for people from various backgrounds and with various approaches, but all with their own natural approach, or attempting to be a natural approach to gardening and to preserving what grows.
Right. And as master gardeners, as Sue said, we do really promote growing diversity of crop, which is important to, the overall health of the soil, of our area, our gardening areas. And so it's important that we grow different things in our garden, and we can do that. And we educate ourselves and our constituents on how to do that, what else there is to grow in the garden. As you said, there's lots of melons, there's thousands of different garlics, and
there are thousands of different garlics.
I mean, it's amazing.
Just think about that, mm-hmm. folks. There are thousands of different garlics. I was talking to a wonderful gardener, a farmer, and she's got about 7 acres. And I said to her, "So, how many varieties do you have?" She said, "I have 30 varieties of 30 different fruits and vegetables." In order to have a really healthy, good, diverse, 20 times 20, 30 right. times 30, the late and wonderful Nancy Scull, who I like to bring up in a conversation mm-hmm. whenever I can, mm-hmm. She had a 8.0189 acre farm off West Side Road, mm-hmm. where the she was told by the real estate people, and maybe you can giggle about this, that the topsoil was 30 feet deep. Because it was in a floodplain, because it was, right? And I got this image of Nancy holding a seed up and having the earth grab it from her and sprout. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because the thing, and what we're so lucky about is she started something, and when she passed, her husband's children got the property. We didn't know if it was going to become a parking lot or another vineyard or something like that. That young couple came who bought it, people who had been in Sonoma County, who probably learned from all of you sitting here, and who said, no, wait, we have to keep this a small farm garden. Mm-hmm. And so they kept the same head farmer, Sam, and he's at the Hillsburg Farmers Market, and it's a tutorial in what garlic can be, what strawberries can be, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's that. Doug, when you try to teach people about plants and that are food, right? How do you go about benchmarking for people? We are a very complicated, simple creature, it seems, right? Mm-hmm. For me, with all the detail, it's yes or no. I mean, with food, it's a plate of food, and I say, I'm going to have that, or, right? Mm-hmm. How do you do that when you're trying to teach people how to grow things in a healthy way? How do you get people to understand what a benchmark is for this kind of a plant or that kind of a fruit?
I guess give them a taste.
Yeah.
And it's happened so many times. We have a lot of interns, garden interns, and interns of various that work in various departments, who experience eating real food for the first time, and to witness people do that is amazing. And I had that experience myself. When I grew up just like you did, where my mother would serve frozen food. Or canned food. I mean, she was a good cook, but I didn't really taste real food until I was in college, and I happened to be on a hiking trip and visited some friends of friends, and it was at a small farm, and everything we ate at the dinner that was served was from the garden and freshly harvested, and I really felt like I was eating food for the first time and vegetables for the first time, and it had this incredible impact on me, and it sort of changed the course of my life.
And you do it every day. Here you are taking that experience and applying it to a universe of experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's so much to be appreciated. I mean, that's one of the things that, you know, we focus a lot about what we've lost, but there's still, it's an incredibly exciting time to be a gardener because we've never had access
right.
to so much diversity from all over the world. I mean, that's actually quite new.
Right.
And so even though the ship is going down, there's a lot that we still can hold on to. And so much of it is just so wondrous. And that's, I mean, I it's such a privilege to be able to celebrate and diversity—the diversity of food crops and herbs and ornamentals, pollinators, all those things—because they're all so beautiful.
Or ornamentals, excuse me, but I have to say this. You're right. Ornamentals and pollinators. Everybody has their job, right? It's not all about getting that one sweet fruit for me.
Right.
It's about feeding the entire living universe.
Exactly.
Right.
Yep.
That goes on. Again, I was mentioning you sometimes, or the property sometimes hosts small gatherings. Tell us a little bit about those kinds of things, particularly in this time of the year.
Yeah, we have been doing that, but 2 years ago, this actually took a long time, but we just finished a new meeting hall. Mm-hmm. A year ago, and it can accommodate way more people. The meeting room can seat 100 people now, and it's this sort of state of the art meeting space. And suddenly, we are getting known as a retreat center, and people are beginning to rent the place.
Yeah.
And the thing that's interesting is that we target groups who are like-minded or potential collaborators. And people who can take advantage not only of the space, but also what we offer.
Yeah.
You know, they have an option to work in the garden, or they have an option to take a backcountry walk and learn about the wildflowers or the birds or the, whatever back there. So there's a really interesting assortment of people who have come here. You know, like in the last week, we had Healthcare Without Harm, which is an international organization. Another one was Break Free from Plastics. We have all kinds of social justice groups that are coming, and because now we have this facility that really sort of ups the ante in terms of comfort and accessibility and that sort of thing.
Are there animals on the property, or is it all vegetation?
There are sheep, you know, a small number,
yeah.
You know, sheep and goats and chickens and ducks and quail.
you laugh because they do whatever they want, don't they? They come and go. They right?
Well, no, these are domesticated quail,
oh,
so they're right. In little cages. But actually, they belong to one of the children who lives there.
All right.
So small number of animals.
Any animals that kind of come through invited or otherwise? I mean, I know I was at the dermatologist about a month ago, and I had to wait until the small herd, and it really was the thundering hooves of wild turkeys. If you ever come across a bunch of wild turkeys in a bad mood in a parking lot, you just wait until they're done,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
And they're all over Sonoma County.
They are
yeah, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And all kinds of other creatures. I mean, we have. A certain amount of mountain lions.
We do, yeah.
In your area? I know it's in Sonoma Valley, above the Sonoma Valley.
Rarely. It's usually more East County.
Right.
Although there have been some, and there are some actually further west than we are.
Wow.
But we routinely have bobcat right. and coyote and fox.
I was going to say,
all the time.
I saw a red fox on my deck last winter. The most beautiful animal I ever... I mean, we just kind of stood and looked at each other.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, they're amazing.
I needed a haircut, but he was perfect. Right. And do you teach a little bit about getting along with those creatures?
We do. Yeah. I mean, one of the nice things about the garden at OAC is it's set in not wilderness, but it's surrounded by forests.
By nature.
And so we can point to or go into the forest and talk about compost.
Yeah.
Or we can talk about succession. Or we can talk about what are the conditions that are ideal for something to germinate by looking in the forest.
Yeah.
And so it's so instructive to be able to look to the mother, Mother Nature, and get guidance, really.
It's interesting. I'm going to be taking the Certified Tourism Ambassador Group. I do this a few times a year
on a familiarization tour, and we're going to be doing this on the 12th. A bus of 35 or 40 people. We're going to a series of farms that we're going to be focusing on the harvest. And one of the things that's quite interesting about the farm that I'm going to be visiting Michelle Anna Jordan at, and she's going to be making lunch for us, is Duckworth. And it's this perfect kind of farm that has, you know, ponds and forest and hillside and flat garden and all those different things. And it really does seem to inform the way of looking at the property, not as this kind of factory of food production, but a piece of nature to be cared for and thoughtfully maintained, with a stewardship that enriches everybody's lives. Mm-hmm. When you, Renee and Sue, when you work with a garden, when you work with an individual gardener, right, or when you talk to people who are home gardeners, how do you talk to them about being a home gardener in a kind of structured neighborhood? How do you talk about that?
Well, do you want to
go ahead?
Actually, it's what we promote as far as food gardening or Mediterranean gardening. Perennial gardening. It's we're out there in the libraries, in the doing the workshops. There is one project, Garden Sense, that does work individually with homeowners. Otherwise, we're promoting our sustainable food growing in how we mentor about nurturing the soil.
So that's really your entire approach. I mean, in fact, if people want to understand how to have their gardening integrated into their lives, that's what you're all about. That really is
that's
what
we're all about, the home gardener, teaching the home gardener.
It's a UC, UC-based organization that our mission is really to provide unbiased, high quality and science-based information to the non-commercial gardener. And so that's really our mission.
That's a great mission.
And we just want to, make sure that they get the right information. And I said thousands of garlic, I meant hundreds of garlic. And so that's what's a big deal, because there's a lot of misinformation, just like with anything else.
Yep.
And so we kind of toe the line on what is said. We make sure that we're educated and continue to be educated ourselves on new things coming out, new practices, new seeds, new plants, how to have more butterflies, more bees, runs the gamut. And then we go to the public, and whether, as you said, in the libraries, we're promoting sustainability, soil.
Farmers markets
we're at too.
You are at farmers markets. I see you there. And,
yes.
And it's wonderful, because in the midst of all this, you can go to talk to a master gardener about how to have that at home, right?
Yes. Right. Yes.
It's wonderful to support a local farmer, but maybe I'd like to try it next time, right? I'd like to try growing it next season.
Everyone has a little bit of knowledge about gardening, it seems, and and everybody wants a little bit more just so they can make it work, so that they can have the garden they want. And so that's what we want to do.
Well, we're so glad you all do what you do. And we're going to take a break in a minute or two, but I keep thinking about front lawns and how they really ought to be gardens. You know, nothing makes me happier than to drive up to see a friend at their house in Santa Rosa somewhere, in an old part of Santa Rosa, where there's a white picket fence, and inside the fence is nothing but nature gone crazy, right? Where you see part of it is just flowers all around it to make it beautiful and to have it be lively and alive. And then there are these little patches of the tomatoes are there. And, people can have, you mentioned the ornamentals, people can have plants that are part of making a garden pleasant. It doesn't, people think of fruit and vegetable gardens as messy, but they don't at all have to be messy. I mean, a little mess down at the bottom while it's decomposing is a good thing if it's done the right way, but that's not mess, that's compost.
Well, and the other thing is that so many food crops are beautiful.
Yeah, I mean,
and
gorgeous.
And they're not appreciated for that.
Yeah.
And that's what edible landscaping is all about, is you can have beautiful landscaping, but you can also eat it. And that's what I've always felt, is that there is no distinction. It's all beautiful. And if you can grow food as well, then that's an added bonus.
Well, there are so many plants on the earth that are edible.
Right.
Right. And they and yes. so many of them go well together. And some of them, some of the plants, we may not eat them, but they might be a little bit of a deterrent towards other things that want to eat what we want to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of putting them on the outside, again, surrounding me with flowers so that I won't get stung. You know, it works for other kinds of plants as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, I think we should talk a little bit more about making sure this kind of delicious conversation goes on at that mouthful. Smart talk about food, wine, and farming can be every Sunday night at 6 o'clock right here.
Great job, Clark. Thanks, everybody, for coming in and talking. I love listening to you guys talk. And it's what Michelle Jordan does every week on her show Mouthful. And she's sorry she can't be here tonight. But I do want to say something about Michelle. She has written over 20 books. And one of her books in particular, her book she did on vinaigrette, changed our life. I mean, I was the kind of guy that would go by the... a box of salad and get some pre-made creamy dressing and put it on there, and I'm wondering why I'm gaining weight.
Right.
I eat a salad every night, and then we read Michelle's book on vinaigrette. My wife is out there every evening chopping up garlic, and it's just really has changed our life.
You know, Michelle's got a number of different books, but these are in a series of small books that she has that are single topic, salt and pepper, and that one, and meatballs. I did a blurb for her meatball book. It's such a great little book. But the vinaigrette one, if you want to have good food almost all the time, anything you cook, fish, pasta, veg, mm-hmm. I mean, meats, poultry, if you know how to make a vinaigrette, you can take over the world. I mean, you can just do whatever you need to do. You can eat anything.
Another one of her great books that we're offering for a $60 donation at KRCB is The Good Cook's Book of Tomatoes. And it's a wonderful book. And with a $60 donation to KRCB, you get another thing that we haven't talked about tonight yet. You get access to what we call the NorCal Public Media Passport. And this allows you to go on your TV. They give you a code. Or on your computer, pbs.org, and you have literally, we're talking about hundreds, but thousands of programs from past weeks and months of PBS shows. You can watch The American Experience, American Master Show, Antique Roadshow, Downton Abbey. So all this comes with a $60 donation to get this passport. Mm-hmm. So let's imagine $60, Michelle's book, the NorCal Passport, the $10 card for Oliver's Market. Why aren't you calling? It's 707-584-2020 is the number. You can also do it online at norcalpublicmedia.org. But operators are standing by, so why not call? 707-584-2020.
You can be a member before next week. I mean, this is possible. You just call 707-584-2020, and you will be a supporter of next week when Michelle welcomes Rick Toyota. He's the Coppola Senior Director of Hospitality, and he'll talk about the upcoming Adventure Pinot taking place on September 28th at Virginia Dare Winery in Geyserville. He'll be discussing the unique Native American food served at the winery's restaurant, Huero. And I'm including a press release, she said. This is her note to me. I'm including a press release. I'm not going to read the whole press release. I just want to go eat the food. Actually, I took the Certified Tourism Ambassadors up to Virginia Dare before it was even open, and the chef from this restaurant gave us a preview, and it is shocking. If you really want to know about where you live, if you want to know about Sonoma County, you need to know about the indigenous foods that were here before we were.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, they really knew how to gather and farm. Right, they were agricultural as well. Yeah, you know, people used to say, "Well, they were nomadic groups." Well, you know, some of us live in one place part of the time, and one place another part of the time. A lot of the First Nation peoples did that. They moved in their own areas with the seasons and with the drought and with whatever happened. That didn't mean that they were nomadic. They were just a little bit more organized and connected to nature. If you want to know more about all of that, tune in next week to Michelle Anna Jordan's show, To Mouthful, Smart Talk About Food, Wine, and Farming. And Doug will tell you again how to become a member in plenty of time so that when you tune in next week, you can, you know, pat your tummy and know that you're supporting Michelle and this great show.
Right. Well, the best way is to call 707-584-2020 and make a donation to KRCB, but online works too. We can go to the website, norcalpublicmedia.org. When you go there, you'll see a big list of thank you gifts that you can choose from, and there's lots of good ones. Lots of good albums. The new Bruce Springsteen album is on there. We've got a lot of our own KRCB compilations that we put together of local artists over the years. Those are available. We've got a jazz CD we put together. We've got a Kate Wolf live album that just came out last year from some undiscovered... are you related to Kate Wolf, by the way?
Not that anyone will admit.
Okay. Clark Wolf. Kate Wolf used to play at this place up in Humboldt County, and they recorded her show. So this guy had 15 hours of Kate Wolf recordings, gave them to Max Wolf, Kate's son, and he got together with Nina Gerber. They went over these 15 hours of recordings and put together the best hour, and the CD is tremendous. It's Kate Wolf live in Mendocino and can be yours for a $40 donation to KRCB at 707-584-2020, and it comes with an Oliver's Market gift card. 584-2020 is the number, and we would like you to call.
Thank you. All right, back to our other Doug. Doug Gosling. Doug, do you have an official title other than the senior, the elder of the Occidental Arts and Ecology Center?
Yes, it's kind of a mouthful. I'm the Mother Garden Biodiversity Program Director, which means it includes the garden, which has been there for a while, and the nursery.
Well, I mean, you're taking care of what's really, really most important at the heart of the property, of this 80-acre property that's been called by some people a bio hot spot. On, like one of 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 or something all over the world where there are more... different varieties of absolutely every kind of living thing than in most other places. Mm. Well, thank you for taking good care of it. Remind us when your plant sale is and how to find what other activities are coming up in not just this, the Sonoma County Grand Harvest season, but through the rest of the year and all year round.
Well, the nurseries open every weekend, every Saturday and Sunday, so we don't have plant sale events anymore. And we're open from 10 to 5, and we're open through the end of August. We open in April, and then we're open, the end of October.
Right.
So we have 2 more months, 2 days a week.
Through the end of October. I mean, Halloween really does mark something actually in this community that it doesn't in others, right?
I used to think that is when the rain always started.
Right.
When I first got here, reliably, certainly it's not true anymore.
No.
But that's, I always thought of Halloween as the beginning of the rainy season.
That's right. It was a 50-50 chance that you were going to be able to see any small children in unfortunate outfits walking through the train, which is why I like what they do it at a school, right? When they celebrate something at a school or a dance or a community center, it just seems like it's going to be less wet.
I think you're right.
Right? All right. And for Master Gardeners, what's coming up next for you guys? Of course, this very special possibility of this being a year when you are accepting applications.
That's right, Clark. And the application process is all on the website. Applications must be received by 5 p.m. on September 23rd. So not much time left, but we encourage everyone to go take a look and be part of our volunteer group. We have about 300... somewhere around 300 master gardeners here in Sonoma County.
Right.
And they do great work.
How long has it been around as an organization here?
Since 1981.
County? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
all right. So this is a really good time, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I moved to New York in 1982 from California. But by the time it got to be 1999, I was just hungry. Right. And I've had a place here ever since. And people joke about it, but I say, no, this is like the fantasy. You talked about having a beret. I know the little hint. It's a little bit like living in like our idea of France or Italy 188 years ago, where the food is amazing. The neighbors can be cranky, but they're wonderful. Right. And where there's something worth preserving, mm-hmm. really worth preserving. Mm-hmm. What is the winter like at the Occidental Arts and Ecology Center?
It is quieter, but it's a planning time. and planning for program for the next year. But we do, we continue to have groups come through the winter. I mean, that doesn't stop.
Talk about a great retreat. I mean, if you've ever been in that part of the county, because, you know, it takes me longer from where I live in out by the Russian River to get to the town of Sonoma than it does to get to San Francisco. That's how big this county is, right? So when they talk about microclimates, they're not kidding. It's not just for grapes. I mean, right? Yeah. Every hillside, every little valley, every little nook and cranny is so different and so alive here. Mm-hmm. So that to come to either a community garden where the master gardeners are plying their trade, and I'm sure the winter is a very important time for you guys too, cleaning and pruning and trimming, and right? Do you have orchards in the gardens at all? Or is it all?
Yes, all the gardens have fruit trees and perennials and herbs, and fall winter gardening is a big thing for us right now. In fact, I keep talking about the libraries, but we are doing some A to Z fall, winter food gardening that covers, you know, the very basics, but thoroughly about growing food in the fall and the winter. I just wanted to say one more thing is we have an educational tour. We have it every 2 years. It's in the South County in 2020, May 17th, and it's called Blooming Backyards.
Oh,
it's six gardens that it's an educational tour. It's six gardens that you can see. It's very diverse and, like I said, very educational. And so I wanted to put that on the books, but we have a lot of exciting things coming up in our library education series. Besides food, we have IPM and
many, many good things.
Many, many. I just want to call attention to that and the workshops around.
Put May 17th on your calendar, folks.
Yeah.
Actually, put every weekend from April to October 31st to buy some plants at the Occidental Arts and Ecology Center. Google Master Gardeners of Sonoma County. Google, because there's a lot to read about it. Thank you
very
all.
Very good website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you all for being here and what you do every day.
Thank you,
and
Clark,
for supporting the kinds of work that Michelle does and that we all really care about. Mm.
Thank you for your support. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, don't forget to support. Do we have one last plea for support for this wonderful station and show?
You bet. We're doing this until next Saturday, so we'll be making pleas for the rest of the week. But 584-2020 is the number. Call now and make a donation to KRCB to support shows like Mouthful and my show. I'm on at noon Monday through Thursday. I do a show called Midday Music. I also do the New Release Hour with Brian on Tuesday mornings at 11. And I host a show called Our Roots Are Showing on Saturdays and Jazz Connection. So I'm here a lot. And, you know, we do it because we love this. We love our work here and we want to keep doing it. So help us keep KRCB afloat. Log on to norcalpublicmedia.org, make a donation, or call 707-584-2020 right now with your support.
And tune in next week when Michelle Anna Jordan will be back. I'm Clark Wolf, and I thank you for a mouthful.